This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Glad to be with you this afternoon, and we're going to talk a lot of sports with you. We're going to start out talking with Matt Charbonneau and looking forward to the spring game. That's coming up next Saturday. So let's bring in our good friend Matt Charbonneau. Matt, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Earl. How are you?
Hey, okay. Hey, this game coming up, I sort of wonder, you know, doesn't matter what side does or can we tell a lot with if it's a dominant defense or a dominant offense?
Yeah, it is kind of hard when you do it like Michigan State does with the player draft. I mean,
yes,
you're going to kind of end up with ones on one side, some on the other. I think the interesting thing is, especially on the defensive side, they've created so much depth there. A lot of these twos, from what we're hearing, what we're seeing, are, you know, pushing a lot of these starters anyway. So I think in that sense, it's kind of interesting. You're going to see a lot of guys play that maybe you normally wouldn't. So, it'll be hard to get a real gauge on, you know, the starting units on both sides. But, like I said, so much depth there now. I mean, you're certainly not going to see any drop-offs, I don't think, on any side of the ball, really.
Yes, we know that on offense, we've got a ton of receivers, but we haven't seen a lot of them. And, you know, we've got very good running backs. But, the quarterback situation is still a little bit up for grabs because Andrew Maxwell probably won't be playing. He could be, but, they're giving Connor Cook all the reps he can get right now since Maxwell's got that sprained ligament. In knee ligaments, so it's a little bit different. We really won't know the offense probably till we're after fall practice.
Yeah, the other interesting thing about the fall, when you mentioned the receivers, is they got four more true freshmen coming in, and I don't think any of these guys are really a slouch. I mean, we're looking at a couple guys that are really highly recruited players. So, you know, everything that gets kind of sorted out in the next 2 weeks could all change again come fall. And I don't think that's necessarily the case with every other position, but at receiver where, you lose three seniors and you've got, a bunch of really untested guys, I think anything could happen at that point. That thing could be fluid right up to the start of the season or even throughout the season. So it'll be interesting to at least watch and see some of the guys. And then the quarterback thing, I mean, Connor Cook's going to get plenty of time now. And, it's interesting, Dan Roschard kind of hinted yesterday that this is a competition between him and Andrew Maxwell and kind of has been for a while. So, I think it's a good opportunity for him. It kind of is tough for Andrew Maxwell to happen at this point because, it's kind of his turn to take over, and it's kind of being slowed now. So we'll see what Connor Cook does with this opportunity. It'll be interesting to watch in a couple of weeks here.
Yes, it will. It's going to be very interesting this whole spring game and everything that's involved around it. But what about with the quarterbacks, and we had a chance to hear Dan Roschard talk about the development of the offensive line. He said there should be probably about nine linemen will be ready to play at the start, and that's always good when you have that many linemen who are supposedly good enough to play.
Isn't it funny? I mean, a year ago, we were sitting here saying, who the heck is going to play on this offensive line? I mean,
yep.
You're replacing both tackles, the center, and now you've got, case where we're looking at least I can think of at least seven guys off the top of my head who have started. And they've got Dan said they got a couple of freshmen pushing, a couple of redshirted guys that are pushing starters at this point. So, I think when you're talking about the offensive line or the defensive line, I don't think it ever hurts to have depth. One of the things they have to do is, obviously, you've got good players not playing. It's kind of keeping their focus there and that kind of attitude right. Because you know how quickly it happens. We saw last year in one game they lose Treadwell and Berkeland in one game. The same thing can happen this year. So it's really kind of keeping these guys ready and keeping them focused and understanding that just because your name's not getting called on that first game doesn't mean they're not going to count on you. So having that depth there, I think, is really going to be a key for them.
You know, when we look at recruiting and all the aspects of recruiting, there's one thing that we really give it some credit, but I don't know if we give it enough credit, and that's how well Michigan State develops players. You know, they don't get many of those five-star and four-star players, but they get good players who have that potential. I guess they see the potential they see in them that they can develop into something much better. And it seems like they're headed down to that trail again. I mean, the way Michigan is recruiting so well and Ohio State's recruiting so well, you know, they're going to be looking at the top of the league as far as getting the four- and five-star players again.
Well, I think you're right. But, you know, I think the best indicator of what this staff has done. I mean, look at the NFL draft coming up next week, and the first two Michigan State guys that are probably going to go, whether they be late first, second round, are going to be Darrell Worthy and Kirk Cousins, two guys that, you know, Cousins a two-star guy, Worthy a three-star guy. So, you know, I think that's kind of where they've made their mark, and I think you have to when you're recruiting against Michigan, you know, Ohio State, Notre Dame, kind of all in the same region. You have to be able to develop talent. You have to be able to find those guys that maybe are overlooked, and you know, whatever it is, this staff has obviously shown a knack for finding that guy, for developing mm-hmm. them. It really is kind of amazing. You know, in last year's class, what did they have, 1 5-star guy, maybe a handful of 4-stars? So,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of the pattern they've been following. I think, though, with continued success on the field, you may see that change a little bit more. Who knows? It could ebb and flow. Some years you have more of them, some you don't. But I tell you what, I this staff has obviously shown they know how to find talent. They know how to develop it. So, you know, the day anyone Michigan State fan should get worked up about recruiting rankings, I tell you, I would put my trust in this staff and pretty much just about anybody they bring in at this point.
Yes, they've done a very good job developing players and bringing them in and helping them become first and second string players. And, you know, they've just done a great job with that. So, you know, it's hard to – you know, we question marks. Sometimes we question players. I don't think we question at that as much as we used to question it because they've done such a good job with developing their own.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, obviously it helps. Yeah, I mean, if you had all 5-stars, life would be great. You'd be Alabama or whoever. You know, and it doesn't mean you always hit. But, I mean, you get guys like William Golston, a 5-star guy who could, you know, could be approaching an All-American year this year. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't help to get as many of those guys as you can.
Sure.
But if you look at Darrell Worthy, you look at Le'Veon Bell now, who's a 2-star guy. You had, you know, a lot of your guys up front on that offensive line were 3-stars at best. So, you know, it's great to have all the 4 or 5-stars. I'm not saying you can't ever get those guys and you can't go completely with the under-the-radar guys, but I'll tell you what, it seems more often than not, if they're going to have a guy break out, it's going to be that 2-3-star guy that maybe a lot of other teams overlooked, and the staff was able to kind of find that right mix for him and the right spot for him. So, you know, it's been impressive so far, and I don't see that changing at this point.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's going to change. We see it's and I think that means a lot more players if they're looking for a place to play. If they don't have scholarship or say have an extra, you know, they don't have scholarship, they would probably look to come to a place like Michigan State because I'm quite sure our players will feel they're going to get a fair shake here and at least a chance to play themselves into a starter.
Yeah, and I also don't think you can underestimate the fact that a lot of these guys maybe feel slighted by a bigger school. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, Le'Veon Bell talked about Ohio State only looked at him maybe as a defensive player and never even, you know, gave him an option as a running back. You know, you get a lot of guys like that, you know, when they get here, they want to prove that there's a reason they're here. And there's a reason, you know, maybe these other teams that some think are bigger, better teams should have looked at them. So, you know, I think when you combine the staff and their ability to coach these guys with a few of those, you throw in a few of those guys, they got a chip on their shoulder, want to prove people wrong, mix in a few of the big 4 or 5-star guys, and I'll tell you what, it's been a recipe for success so far. And, you know, like we've said over and over again, I don't see a change. And I think for Michigan State, the position you're in, who you're recruiting against, I think they put together kind of almost a perfect formula, really.
Yes, they're recruiting some of the best schools in all of college football, going against Ohio State, Michigan, Notre Dame regularly and for a player. And to be honest, they're not going to win many of those battles against those three schools.
Yeah, you know, you're not. I mean, you're going to get a few, obviously. You know, they won the Golston race a couple of years ago, Lawrence Thomas last year. You're going to get a few. I mean, you can't lose them all. The commitment they got the other day, the Jones kid, he was up for, you know, he was considering all the other big programs. Michigan, I feel like Alabama was in there. I may be mistaken at this point, but, you know, when you win as much as Michigan State has, when you're in big games or in the Big Ten Championship, when you're playing for big bowl games, but, you know, prospects and players see that. They know that it isn't like it used to be. And, you know, even though while you may not have all five stars, you also see these guys say, you know what, I know I can go there and I'm going to get a chance to play. So, you know, you're not going to win them all. It's a tough place to recruit here in the Midwest. I mean, with the amount of good programs and the players being sought after, it's tough. But I think you see Michigan State do pretty well getting outside of the Midwest. They get into Maryland a little bit, down into Georgia now, Florida. They picked up some pretty good players. So, you know, it's a tough recruiting environment, but they've proven that they can hang with just about anybody.
Yes. When you look towards the scrimmage, Matt, any areas you think that we should really look to that are question marks with some players are there some positions that are really I mean, we know, as Coach always says, that every position up for grab is everybody's fighting for a starting job. But what positions would you look at that you think are really up for a starting job?
Well, I mean, obviously, I think there's the two easy ones that everyone knows are receiver and quarterback at this point. Maybe not so much quarterback. I think it's still Maxwell's job, you know, to lose at this point. I don't think him missing a couple weeks or a week or so here is going to change that ultimately. We'll see going into fall. But the biggest one has to be receiver. But again, like we talked about, I mean, you're going to get three, four more guys coming in the fall who could change all that. So, and Tony Liffa's not going to play in the spring game. So it's going to be a little bit harder to judge the receivers a little bit. Maybe we'll get a look at Arnett, who has, you know, most people don't know a lot about. Maybe some other guys like Caesar, who's been, you know, dealing with an injury for most of his career, but now finally looks healthy. So I think the receiver one will be pretty intriguing. You know, the other thing, defensively, I mean, this could be a great defense, and that linebacking core, you know, could be one of the best in the country. Yet, with Chris Norman out hurt, you're looking at guys like Tywan Jones, Darian Harris. They're really making a name for themselves so far this spring, and I would keep an eye on those guys in the spring game as names you're going to want to remember come in the fall and certainly moving ahead the next couple of years.
I know one thing that we don't look at a lot, Matt, is that, you know, Dan Roschar was talking about the defensive development and how good the defense is getting. And as he mentioned yesterday, that every player, that they see every kind of defense, Michigan State's defense, when they face them in practice, they're not going to see a defense that they haven't seen before when it comes up in a game, every kind of situation, which happens to be really a big plus for the offense. You know when you're seeing defenses all the time, different angles coming at you from different positions, that's really, you know, a big plus, because we don't mention that often how what you see on the other team, how that can help you in getting ready for a game, and that seems to turn into a very, very big plus.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the keys of the depth they've built on that defense. I mean, having all those linebackers, having versatile guys up front, the ends, and moving some guys down to tackle, I think that gives you that option to kind of change things up. Yeah, they're a 4-3 team, and they're going to run a 4-3 most of the time. And you'll hear people asking about 3-4s. They're not going to do that much, but they now have the players. They have the talent now to do that if they want. They can send four linebackers out, or they can bring a fifth defensive back in there. And you're not bringing in guys who are, you know, obvious backups, or they're a big step down in talent. I mean, you're looking at guys who are coming in who are easily as good as the players that are out there starting. So, you know, it's that depth that wasn't there before Mark D'Antoni was here, and it's here now. And it gives you that flexibility to do just about anything on defense. I mean, I tell you what, I'm really excited to see this defense coming into the fall. You really look at it, I can't see a weak spot out there at this point, and I think it goes deeper than the ones. You're seeing twos that are, you know, if there's injuries and who knows what's going to happen down the road, but, they could suffer a few injuries, and I don't think they're going to be a big drop-off. I mean, that's how deep and talented I think they are over there.
Oh, yes, I would agree. They're a very deep team, you know, got a lot of talent, and, you know, because that was my biggest bugaboo a few years ago, was always talking about the lack of depth, and now they've got very good depth on this team. First and second string, even goes down, some third stringers are pretty good right now.
Yeah, I mean, I keep going back to the linebacker thing because it seems the easiest, but look at a guy like Lawrence Thomas. Obviously, he's been hurt, and he's still hurt this spring, but this is one of these five-star guys they've gotten. And I'll tell you what, at this point, he's probably third on the depth chart at linebacker. I mean, obviously, a lot of that's injury, but, I mean, you look at him, you go deep on that defense, and you find a lot of talented players. It's starting to get that way on the offense and the front line. Obviously, we'll see on the receivers, but I'll tell you what, you're right. A few years ago, you know, you get one injury, and this team was in big, giant trouble. You know, it's to see how it's changed in the last few years under Mark D'Antonio is really impressive. And, I mean, this is a team now that can – you don't ever want guys getting hurt, but you can at least handle it and move on a heck of a lot better than you used to.
Okay. Hey, man, I want to thank you for being with me. It's always a pleasure talking with you. You know, we'll be talking more. We've got the spring game coming up next Saturday, so we'll talk more football in the coming week and in the weeks afterwards.
You got it, Earl. Thanks for having me.
Okay, thank you. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Matt Charbonneau from Detroit News talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. 22 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Nobody, not Chris Christie, not Marco Rubio, wants to be Veep. Or at least, that's what they say. Mitt files for a tax extension. Another Democrat will retire from Congress. I'm Neil Conan. Guest political junkie Matt Bye and Andy Stern join us to take the temperature of the Obama maniacs 4 years later. Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Mostly sunny skies today, becoming mostly cloudy by afternoon with a high near 67. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain, a low around 50 degrees. Cloudy on Thursday with a good chance of rain and highs in the mid-60s, and rain is very likely on Friday, and we'll see a high in the upper 50s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527. Toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. So give us a call, talk sports with us, and we're going to be talking some more sports with you right now here on AM 870 WKAR. But first up, though, we want to tell you and give you all a big hearty thank you for helping us meet our spring membership campaign goals. The total was we made $137 and $333. Our goal was $135,000. It's a big thank you to each and every one of you who made a contribution in support of our programming here on WKAR. Now, if you missed your chance to contribute during the campaign, you still can do so by giving us now the link at WKAR.org. So just go to that and you can still campaign. Give us your donation here at WKAR. But give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And we're going to talk some football again, college and professional football, with Andre Rison, the former Spartan, and who was one of the greatest receivers here at Michigan State, and was a pretty good NFL receiver as well. So we'll talk a little bit with Andre about his career and what he's doing now, talking with Andre, and we've got him on the line now. And one thing I was very glad to hear, Andre is going back to school. So let's talk with Andre Rison. Andre, how you doing, my man?
Hey, what's up, bro?
Hey, doing pretty good. Boy, the first question I had for you, though, I mean, we know that Georgia game propelled you into being a first-round draft pick. I always wondered, would you have been a first-round draft pick even if you didn't do so well in that game against Georgia?
I would hope so, but the bowl game definitely helped. As you know, we didn't throw the ball a lot, and
yeah,
we ended up getting behind in the game and were forced to throw the ball. And so, you know, Bobby McAllister and Tony Mandarich, you know, they played their part, and I just played my part and tried to come up with a bowl win. But, you know, I had a great game. It was a great experience. I think it did propel me, you know, into the first round.
Yes, I mean, you played against some of the greatest defensive backs back then. You played against Deion Sanders. You played against some pretty good defensive backs. That had to help you getting that in. But do you think, because you're not the biggest guy, and, you know, today they're looking at such big receivers. Everybody's want a 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", receiver. You might not have even been a first-round pick today, would you?
I don't know. It is with the circumstances at home, you know, with me wanting to help my mom and, you know, go to school and further my education and also live out a dream, which is making it to the National Football League, I think I would still, you know, caught my share of passes in this time. So, but I do understand what you're talking about because I was classified as a smaller receiver.
Yeah.
And, you know, today's receivers are. You know, huge and humongous, but there were large, you know, tall receivers, tall, fast, you know, thick, muscular receivers like the Andre Johnsons, Larry Fitzgerald of today. There were several, you know, back when we played, but it just depends on your offensive coordinator, and the NFL is such a passing league now.
Yes.
You know, offensive coordinators and GMs, they're looking for receivers who can make plays. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at Wes Welker. Look at what Tom Brady uses.
Yeah, that's true.
He uses a lot of receivers that came out of college with a lot of with not a lot of notoriety. And so, you know, it's all about what offensive coordinators are looking for, and I was fortunate. You know, I was fortunate to go to a great school in Michigan State. And it taught me how to be patient, you know, coming from a running offense. And I was worried there if I was going to get drafted in the first round. But just to, you know, have the life plan and be fortunate to play in the NFL, that's a great feat in itself and a great blessing. So I was just happy to, you know, get drafted, really.
Yeah, I mean, boy, you end up having such a great career. But what a boy, if you had played in today's game, it's no telling how many passes you would have caught. It's such a passing game now.
Well, you know, it is a passing game. You know, rules have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much in college, but in the National Football League, rules have changed. They're more open for receptive to the receiver and quarterback. You know, they want to see a show. And, you know, back when I played, it was very physical. You could play bump and run, put your hands on, you know, the receiver all the way down the field, basically. And, you know, now guys are running free.
Yeah.
Teams are passing the ball 35 times, you know, a game. Some teams are passing it as like 40. You know, it just depends on what they need to do to win that game. And I think the game has evolved into a great game, though.
Yes. Yes, because, you know, back in your day and then, you really had to be fearless to go across the middle. Nowadays, you can just about run, you know, fancy free across the middle. You don't have to worry about getting hit. But, boy, in those days, you know, guys would take some vicious hits if they tried to cross the middle of the field.
Well, you definitely have to have a certain mentality, you know, and I've been fortunate enough to be able to coach with, in the offseason and work out and train with Larry Fitzgerald and Wayne Bowe. And guys like that, and so I'm still, you know, a part of today's game, and I thank those guys for it. They, you know, allow me to come around and help them, and they, you know, take my advice on different things, and you know, we sit and talk about the game of yesterday and the game of today, and they remind me of Michael Irvin. You know, mm-hmm. Michael Irvin was a big receiver.
Yes.
Al Toon. You know, those guys were big and successful, but there were a lot of smaller receivers too that were successful. Like the Henry Ellards and Drew Hill, those guys. So they gave me motivation that a smaller receiver that could, you know, have success. And, you know, I never stopped. I never left Michigan State without wanting to be the best to ever play the game.
Yes, well, you...
No matter what my size was.
Yes, because the 3 years, you led the Spartans in passing. I just went back and looked for every year that you led the Spartans in passing. You know, some receivers, you know, had well, but you were such a dominant receiver. Even though they didn't throw the ball that much, you were still a dominant receiver and basically a run-based offense.
You know, we had a special group, and that's what I love about what Coach Marcus has brought to our university, is that family atmosphere, and you know, let's play for the university, let's play for the students, let's play for that Spartan statue that sits in the front, you know, of our university. So we had that those type of guys because most of us were all conference or all state. There were a lot of us from Chicago, Ohio, Michigan, and, you know, we were supposed to be, hadn't been to the Rose Bowl in 23 years, and why you go to Michigan State? Why you didn't choose Michigan? Well, I don't like Michigan. I chose Michigan State to make the games, and I was, you know, I played with some great players, like Percy Snow, Lorenzo White, and Tony Manders, and Bobby McAllister, and, you know, I was just to name off a few, Blake Ezor, and we had an ambition to change the outlook on Michigan State football.
Yes, you
we
did.
We wanted to be national champs. We wanted to be Rose Bowl champs, and so I bought into it, and it kind of helped me, with dealing with not getting the ball during the game when I knew and I felt that I was the best receiver in college football.
You know, the one thing we talked about as well was, you know, that non-conference schedule you played back then. They don't play the non-conference schedules today that they played in those days. And, you know, you guys had a very tough non-conference schedule, some very tough games, and they're starting to get back to that. I mean, Michigan State's going to have a better non-conference schedule next year than they've had in quite some time. But how did that help you playing against the Deion Sanders and like that? I mean, you played against some pretty good Notre Dame teams as well.
I got a chance to play against Arizona State, mm-hmm. Florida State. Arizona State had Eric Allen, who ended up being an All-Pro for many years in the National Football League. I played against him. I played against Deion Sanders at Florida State, Hall of Famer. I played against Rod Woodson at Purdue, a Hall of Famer. I played against Nate Oldham. All-Pro, went to four Super Bowls, started in four Super Bowls. I got a chance to play against some great corners in competition that prepared me for the National Football League. Even though I was only getting the ball two and three times, I was making sure that the whole place knew that I had just, number one, had just got his one and only or two and only opportunities to catch the ball. I just tried to do what I could do, and you know, it never took away from me blocking. I never said, okay, I'm not getting the ball, so I'm not going to block for Lorenzo. You know, he's one of my best friends to this day, and he's the all-time leading rusher at Michigan State. And I was the all-time leading receiver until BJ broke it this year, and, you know, I congratulate him on that. I don't even know how I held it that long.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Yeah, you held on to it for so long, and the record. I mean, as much as they throw the ball today, yet you're able to hold on to it for so long. That has to contribute to go to you for the great plays that you made over the years.
Well, you know, God is special, and look what happened. I end up leaving college and going to Indianapolis Colts, and they're being traded for the first pick in the next draft. But I ended up in the run and shoot offense,
where we threw it,
you know, 75-80% of the time. And it was like a blessing in disguise because I had patience for the run game. I had patience, not to go too many quarters without getting the ball, but I learned a lot by playing in Michigan State's offense because it was a pro-style offense. And it just geared me, and also the coaches. You know, you talk about playing for George Perlis and Nick Saban, Charlie Baggett. You know, some great coaches. Buck Nystrom, Coach Parker. You know, those are like legendary Big Ten coaches.
Yes, yes, you did. You played for a lot of very good coaches while you were here at Michigan State, and like you say, you developed into one of the best receivers of that era. One of the best receivers of all time here, and one of Michigan State's great receivers. I mean, you know, you're still, like you say, you're in all throughout the record books, and I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon. You did such a good job here. Now you're in you're coaching. You coached at high school ball last year. You coached Flint Northern?
Flint Northwestern.
Northwestern?
I was there for several years as a head coach there.
Yeah, so you did a good job. Now you're back in school, trying to finish up and get your degree. What do you want to do once you get your degree and get back into coaching again?
Oh, well, you know, I hope I can coach till that day calls me. That's my second life, and you know, I love it. I was coaching when I was playing. I was coaching, so. You know, high school coaching, it was a great experience. I loved it. I loved helping the kids. I loved seeing smiles on the kids' faces and also helping save some of them kids. Everybody can't play football, but football is a great sport where you bring a lot of people together and it gives you the opportunity to change people's lives. So I think I was more so in it for that tool. I know I have the knowledge of the game. I know I can coach and teach. So I was just ready to go to the next level, and also I knew it was time for me to go ahead and graduate and finish up college and earn these credits that I need to graduate so I can do what I need to do. Not only that, first things first is education, and that's to earn my degree.
Yes.
And so I said, well, you know, I would love to, you know, help out up at Michigan State, whether it was voluntarily or whether it was as a student. A student assistant. And so hopefully within here next fall, coming fall, actually this summer, hopefully this summer I'll be enrolled and I'll be taking classes up in Michigan State.
That's great, Andre. Certainly hope and wish you the best, and hopefully you do everything to get that degree. I know one thing about, you know, when you're talking to kids, you know, that your name and what you've done, especially coming out of the Flint area, that carries a lot of weight with kids. Because when you talk, I assume that they really listen to what you have to say.
Well, you know, God blessed me with one quality as a player and teammate, and that was to be a leader. And so I think I've won on all levels. I've been a state champion. I've been, you know, Rose Bowl champion. I've been a world champion, and so I've played with some great people, you know. So, and I learned from some great people, and I just try to gain that knowledge and use that, you know, that tutelage, and just try to help the kids go the right direction. You know, we've been there, done that. So, I'm looking forward to my second, you know, career, which is coaching. And wishing the Spartans a great season this year.
Yeah, are you at all surprised at how good the Spartans have developed under Mark D'Antonio?
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of Coach Mark D'Antonio, so he can do no wrong in my book. And you know, just how he just handled his own health situation and still have faith in his staff. Had faith in the kids, and faith in what he had taught and preached to the kids. You know, you can't beat it. It's been a long time since we had a guy over there in that football building running things the way Coach Mark is running it. And I'm proud of how our institution looks when it comes to college football.
Hey, we had a caller called in and wanted me to relay this question to you. He wanted to ask you about the NFL, about the concussions, claiming the NFL doesn't do enough about them, and was it educating players about the dangers of them, and the lawsuit also. He wanted to know about the bounty situation. Did you ever hear about bounties going on when you were playing?
Hey, when it comes to bounties, hey. You know, that word right there is a bad word right now.
Mm-hmm.
When I played the game was vicious. Like I said earlier, the rules were different. The game was more violent, I believe. And even before we played, they played with leather helmets and no face masks.
Yep.
So imagine taking those hits. I never was one to cry about the physicality of the game. We knew it was a dirty game. We knew it was a live game. We knew, you know, that anything could happen. And they always tell you that, you know, you're only a play away from, you know, your last play. And so always protect yourself at all times. Now, when you say bounty, you're talking about, you know, actually putting a hit out on someone and putting a price on someone's head. You know, I've seen a lot of, you know, people, reporters make their comments on it. mine as a former player. It's all in the nature of the game.
Yeah, it's a tough physical game, that's for sure, and maybe that's changing now. Hopefully that's changing the game for the better, what did you do? Because, like you say, you had to protect yourself, or the coaches told you to protect yourself. So how could you protect yourself when you're out there playing, during a pass route or something? How could you protect yourself?
Being smart in the classroom, when you study people, tendencies. You know people's temperament before you even play them. You know the ones just taking cheap shots prior to the game. I know for a fact, you know, players back in the day probably got concussions that didn't know because technology is different. Medicines are different. I probably had a couple concussions that I didn't know about, but I knew I felt funny. But didn't know it was a concussion. Yeah. I knew I wasn't going to come out the game, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much I love the game. It's a catch-22 when you're protecting yourself. Because, you got to be just as vicious and violent as the opponent or so, the enemy.
Yeah, it's a totally different game today than it was then, so isn't it, Andre? I mean, boy, even the college game was – how do you see – when you see the college game, how different do you think the game is today than when you played? What's the difference in the college game today?
I love the college game. Only different thing about college is the commentators. that's changed. It's a great game. I'm not a fan of the BCS system. I'm not a fan of that at all. I don't believe how we, beat Michigan, beat Wisconsin, but, they go to BCS bowls and we don't. I don't understand that one yet. And that's about it as far as changes in college football. College football is great. It's wide open. Young kids out there, experiencing a new level of football and learning the game. That's what makes it so exciting, and you got so many great conferences. Big Ten is the best conference, though. I hear a lot of people say the SEC and
yep.
ACC,
Yeah, I argue with friends all the time about the SEC versus the Big Ten.
Yeah. You bring an SEC team, to the Big Ten and let him play all year in the Big Ten, he probably come up with one or two losses.
At least. Hey, Andre, it's always good talking with you, my friend. I'm going to have you back on again real soon, and we'll talk some more football, because it still is a great game, and it's nice to hear your reminiscence of the Big Ten football, because it's still a game and we all love it. We've been involved in it for a long, long time, buddy. So it's good talking with you, and I'll talk to you again real soon, my friend.
All right. Thank you, Earl.
Hey, thank you, Andre.
Have a blessed day.
You too, buddy. Yeah, that's Andre Rison talking football with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Andre was one of the best receivers in Big Ten history, basically, and definitely one of the best receivers in Michigan State history. It's 43 minutes after the hour, 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Every Wednesday, you hear this song on The Political Junkie.
I want to grow up to be a politician.
Just one of a string of hits from Roger McGuinn and the Byrds. I'm Neil Conan. Roger McGuinn joins us, plus Werner Vinge on Google Glasses. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
The forecast for this afternoon, mostly sunny, then becoming mostly cloudy later today with a high near 67. Mostly cloudy tonight with a chance of rain showers. We'll see a low around 50. Cloudy on Thursday, an even better chance of rain. Highs in the mid-60s. And then rain showers are likely for Friday, and we'll see a high in the upper 50s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527. Toll free, 877-952-7870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. We're going to talk with a few, I've got a few cuts for you from some of the football players. I talked to a few players and coaches at the press conference we had yesterday with some of the coaches, with Coach D'Antonio. Had a chance to talk with Coach D'Antonio, Coach Roshar, and a few of the players yesterday. So let's hear what Coach D'Antonio had to say about the backup quarterback, Connor Cook. And Connor is going to be getting a lot more reps right now with because of the sprained knee ligaments that Andre Maxwell has. So that's going to give Connor a lot more chances to get a lot more playing time, which he needs plenty of reps, which will help him get ready in the fall. So here's what Coach D'Antonio had to say about Connor Cook.
Well, obviously, I mean, the reality of it is if it had to happen, you'd rather have him do it than Connor. Connor needs the work. He's the true freshman. You know, Andrew's been in the system for 3 years and is, you know, he'll be ready to go. And he may be able to come back, like I said, next week, but we won't push that, so we'll see.
Yes, they'll see, but they'll get. It'll be good for Cook to get. He's a true freshman, and yes, they need to get him as much work as they can. So as he's out there, it's going to be good for Connor Cook to get as much work as he can. That's for sure. Also, Coach D'Antonio talked about how he's improving and how the team is just improving overall.
Well, you know, we have six practices left and just continue to try and improve. You know, now you're getting to the point, though, I think also where you want to make sure that you guys stay healthy, as ironic as that is. You know, so there's going to be, you know, pressure to not only play and go a little bit live, but also keep guys healthy. So that'll be the main focus and, you know, work on some opponents as we go as well.
Yes, and one thing about the Michigan State team, it's still a very young team, and was sort of surprised when Coach D'Antonio talked about how young the Spartans are.
I think you can improve your football team greatly in spring practice, and you can give people opportunities to put them in situations and make it as live as possible for your young players especially. I think your older players are going to retain a lot of things. They can still improve, but it's your young players. And, you know, we're a young football team, and I look today, I think we have a, you know, if we were traveling today to a football game, we'd travel with 10 seniors on our roster out of this top 70. So, you know, so we're a young team, but, you know, we got a heavy dose of juniors, probably about 20 or 25 juniors. And so that makes us an experienced football team, but we also have a lot of young players that are going to move forward.
Okay, so as you hear, that's some of the plans for the team, a young team moving forward and trying to get everybody to get some spirits, some more reps to get them on the same page. So that's what they're trying to do. The time now, 47 minutes after the hour, 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk right here on AM 870. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. Now, one thing, I had a chance to chat a little bit with one of the players, Joe Heath, who's going to be a defensive lineman, and he's been playing pretty well. He's a redshirt freshman, and people, you know, he's learning a whole lot. I asked him about how much he's learned and how much further he has to go.
He sees that I'm, you know, today I was really, really thinking a lot. You know, within the first 3 days, everything came easy. I was going, you know, fast and, you know, doing really, really good and making a lot of plays. And today I kind of, you know, just stumbled just a little bit, knowing that we had, you know, new plays in. So it was kind of different today, but he was just keeping me relaxed.
Yes, and just letting him learn as much as he can. And also, you know, we talked with a few other players. We talked with Will Golston, and Will Golston has really come a long way in his 3 years here. And here's what Will had to say as he's gotten better as a player.
I need to do a whole another 360 turn. I mean, I got to progress from last year like I progressed from my freshman year. I got to do better than I did my sophomore year. I only had 70 tackles and 5 sacks, so I got to do way better than 5 sacks for sure and make sure I get double digits. But just play inside the scheme. I feel like if I play inside my defensive scheme, everything can come.
Yes, and as most of you know, Pat Narduzzi, the defensive coordinator, he put some great schemes together. So the players have a lot of faith in what Narduzzi proposes each and every week. He gives them some great schemes to go through, and they've learned how to play well inside those schemes. One thing that Joe Heath talked about was how he's getting better as a player. What do you think you need to improve on even more so from what you've already learned? What do you think you have to do to get even better?
Getting bigger, getting off the ball for the most part. That's the most important thing for me, getting off the ball and using my hands and listening to the coaches as much as I can.
Yes, and that's one of the key, listening and learning and getting off the ball when it's on the snap. That's a very big part of the game. As many of you know, you have to get off the ball quickly so you can try to get in the offensive backfield. And the defense has gotten very good. It's gotten much better here at Michigan State. So you'll see a pretty strong effort. If you go out to the spring game Saturday, you'll see some guys flying around, being very active. So that's what you'll want to see when you go to the spring game coming up on Saturday. Well, had a chance to talk to the quarterback, Connor Cook, and he's had to consider even more so what he's, because he's going to be giving every rep because Andre Maxwell is hurt, so he's going to be giving a lot of reps. So here's what he had to say about the things he's going to have to do.
Hey, you're always concerned about your teammates. You don't want your teammates getting hurt, but you just got to go in. You got to be focused. The quarterback position is all about being poised and calm and cool and collected, and the main thing I feel is just to go out and just focus, know the play, say the play in the huddle, know what the defense is doing. It's just a whole game of knowledge.
Yes, and so that's what he has to do just to get better, just learn as much as he can, and then being able to process it after you've learned it. That's the other part of it. Well, I had a chance to talk with the offensive coordinator, Dan Roshar, and he talked about how they have to they get ready. Someone asked him about the offensive linemen and how they get ready. Does that help them get ready for the defenses they're going against?
I think that your challenge is really presented during the season because you see such different styles of defense from week to week, whether you're getting a two-gap defense, a reading defense, a penetrating, a moving, a blitzing defense. You have to be able to make those adjustments. The great thing about going against our defense is they blitz and pressure and move so much. That's a real positive. Rarely do we get into a game we haven't seen those things. The other side of it is, as we play other teams, they get tighter alignments that are in on us, and you got to be great fundamentally, and you got to be able to move people physically. Where movement starts to happen, oftentimes you're going through the movement. Now you got to be able to block a guy one-on-one. So those are different challenges, but those things we work on throughout training camp and continue to improve in that area.
Yes, that's something that you have to do, because when you're going against us, as an offensive lineman, he's a former offensive lineman. He knows, when you see so many different schemes and from the defense coming at you in practice, definitely helps your offense for sure. It helps you be prepared. Maybe we don't talk about that as much. How much your own teams that you see in practice, how much that prepares you even better for a game when you see so many varied defensive schemes that Pat Narduzzi comes up with it week in and week out. So if you see something in a game, you've probably seen it already before in practice. You have to realize that probably that a lot of teams don't run as many defenses as Michigan State runs. So it's a very big plus for Michigan State. They run so many different defensive schemes, and your offense gets a chance to look at just about every kind of scheme imaginable in practice, that's for sure. So that's a really big plus. I wish you could have went out there with me, Aaron, because we got a chance to see so many good, you hear and see so many about the Michigan State schemes, and that's one thing that I didn't really consider that much. You see so many good schemes that can help you in the game from practice, because you see so many different aspects of a defense. Some schools you can probably prepare for, and you won't have to worry about about so many different schemes that you put up. So it's probably pretty good that Michigan State has a defensive coordinator that presents so many different offenses, defenses, that is, to the offense.
Yeah, that certainly helps when, practice is when you go over all that stuff and you prep for the game. So if you've got a kind of a creative defensive coordinator and you're seeing a lot of those defenses in practice, that certainly helps prepare for them in the game. So yeah, I have to imagine that is something we don't always consider, what you're going up against in your own team and in the practice squad and all that stuff. But yeah, that certainly makes a big difference.
It should. Well, I know that you got your hair cut off for good.
I did. I got my hair cut over the weekend. So I made good on my promise. I said if people would donate, I would cut my hair. So there you go. It is cut.
Yeah. So, hey, if you haven't donated yet, you can still time to call in and donate your pledge of support to WKAR. So give us a call at 432-9527. That's the number to call and tell them that you want to make a pledge of support to AM 870 WKAR or to the FM station. You can contribute to either side or to both, however you'd like to do it. We're certainly here for you, and we'll take your pledge of support to WKAR. Well, spring game is next week, so I assume you're going to go to the spring game.
Yeah, I probably will make it out to the spring game, unless it's really like terrible and raining and whatnot. Then I might just say, "Oh, I'll watch it on Big Ten Network." But we'll see how it is.
Well, I might convince you to come with me. You and Jacob can both come with me. We'll get you in the press box and give you a chance to watch the game and maybe even put you to work for a little bit.
Well, that would be tempting. That would be tempting.
Yeah, we can do that. I think we can have that arrangement because we've only got a few more practices. I mean, they said 6 practices left, and yeah. We'll only talk to the coaches and players next week one time, and then they have the draft. The draft is what I was looking forward to on next Wednesday. That's because then you get to see what players think of their teammates because they'll have both sides will draft, so it'll be interesting to see who goes where and who goes what. So that's always a fun time. The players, they do the drafting. The coaches, they're listening. They just have to make sure that it's that they have equal talent on both sides, so one side won't be too overloaded. So they try to make sure that there's talent, equal talent on both sides. But that's always a fun thing, the draft that they have.
Yeah, absolutely. That's always a good time, and I think that the spring game will be interesting. A couple things to look at. I think now a lot of people are going to be looking at the quarterback position with Andrew Maxwell injured a little bit and see, and Mark D'Antonio kind of alluded to it in that clip about Connor it is kind of a good time for something like this to happen if it's going to happen. Maxwell's been in the system for a while, so he doesn't necessarily, everyone needs the practice time, but if you're looking at both of them, you say who needs the practice time more, it's obviously Connor coming in. So it's unfortunate for him, but if it's going to happen, it's not a bad time for it to happen. So there's some intriguing things to look at in this spring game, so I think it'll be an interesting preview of the upcoming season.
Yes, and we've got to look at all those receivers, and then there are 4 more receivers coming in the fall that they think are very talented. They won't get here till the fall, for the summer, that is. And so the receivers battles and how many can separate themselves from everybody coming up, that's going to be a good battle to look at.
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of intriguing things to look at in the spring game. It'll be fun. But I do have a bit of breaking news that's just come across, and that's Pat Summitt, the Tennessee women's coach, has stepped down. So
okay.
She will be succeeded by Holly Warlick. So that's interesting. Pat Summitt, obviously a very good women's coach, and she will step aside at Tennessee.
Yeah, she had some illness problems for a while there. But, one of the best coaches ever, Pat Summitt. Congratulations to her for sitting down. I mean, she set a hot side when it went to set aside because, boy, she had some great, great teams for a long, long time. So we'll see if the coach that's coming in for her can keep it going. Hey, we want to thank you all for listening. Thank you all for calling. And we're going to invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. And we remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. And we want you to come back and join us tomorrow and have yourself a safe and pleasant evening this evening. Remember, you're listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. And we're going to bring it back to you, and we'll have more guests for you tomorrow and a few surprises for you tomorrow. So we'll tell you about that when you turn this on tomorrow. We've got a few surprises for you right here from AM 870 WKAR. Have yourself a very safe and a pleasant evening, and I'll see you tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.